just honor you this afternoon, this morning. We recognize that in ourselves we can do absolutely nothing. Just strip ourselves of every confidence, particularly me, of any preparation, of every knowledge, of any imagination. Just lean entirely on you, Lord. So that that word that you have for us, Lord God, as a compass into this 2016, Lord, you will grant us great grace for each and every one of us, Lord God, to receive a compass and to follow this compass through in the name of Jesus. So that, Lord, at the end of the year, and Lord, as we see you come forth in glory and power, none of us will be bystanders, Lord, but we'll be partakers of the same said glory. To the praise of God's glory, we thank you, Father. We worship, bless, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, brethren, I'm coming very quietly this morning, this afternoon, because this message that I believe the Lord dropped for me is a very important message. And as we were praying now, God reminded me of that word compass. Some years ago, Pastor and I were with one man of God. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and told me and said to me, speak to this man. He has left his compass behind. And he needs to have his compass, because the compass is what gives you the direction of the north, where to go. And if you keep having your compass, the wisdom and the presence of the Holy Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, you'll keep going in the right direction. Humility demands that when you have left your compass behind, that you should not walk with residual knowledge. Because if you've never been away before, you do not know that way. And if you do not know a way, how can you get to where you're going? So it is important that we have the leading of the Holy Spirit, a compass directing us. And if we've missed the path, humility demands. That's why Jesus said, learn of me, for my meek and lowly in heart. That was what saved him. Even though he was king of all glory, he stripped himself of all that because he's never been this way before. He's never been a man before. He's always been God. So he doesn't even know what it means to be a man. So he needed to lean on the other two persons of the Godhead so that they can deliver what they had planned before the foundation of the world. If Jesus needed that, we need it. Unfortunately, that great enemy, pride, is always working against man. Worked against Lucifer. Worked against that man of God. Say, what is this small girl talking about? And today, years later, it's obvious to all. Even if he will not accept it to himself, in his heart he knows that he should have listened and come back to pick his compass. Brethren, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. But I want you to think on this as I share these words, because these words are preparation for the journey that God is taking us through.
Pastor said something. To survive on this journey, you have to know what to take. When he was preaching today, I just quickly scribbled it down. That to survive on this journey, you have to know what to take. And today, by the grace of the Lord, I believe the Lord has come to share with me, share with us. He was speaking it to me. And I said to Pastor, I said, honey, you know, I don't like to minister. I just like to do my prayer. I dare jelly behind. But I think I have a word of the Lord for us today. And he gave us the entrance by saying, to survive on this journey, we need to know what to take. If you're going to put a title to this message, what you would put would be God's ability to disallow and his ability to allow. God's ability to disallow and allow. God's ability to disallow or to allow. God's ability to disallow or to allow. If anything happens to any of us, the first thing we say, ha, Oluwa, kilo dede, kini mo se, why God, why? True or false? Ah, why God, why? First James. Let's go to James. I want to share something with us. In James, start with chapter 1, James. God does not tempt with evil. James 1. Now, listen to me. I want to first read from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Remember, Pastor said that this morning. And he doesn't even know. Now jump to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted. Everybody say it after me. Let no man say. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And And see, when it is finished, it bringeth for death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know something? This message actually started welling up in my heart from the watch night service. When the scripture said that an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul. And people would say, if God is alive, why is there so much evil? If God is alive, if he's alive, why is there so much evil? And the Bible said it was an evil spirit from the Lord that troubled Saul. I began, you know, these scriptures, I don't let them go until I have an answer. And then suddenly, this scripture jumped to me. That's why I read it to you. For God, you're not a man to lie. Your word says that you do not tempt any man with evil. How come then the scripture says that an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul? Brethren, I may not be screaming today, but I want you to put on your thinking cap with me and let us go on a journey. Then suddenly, a scripture jumped to me and said, I am he who created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. In there I got my answer. I am he that created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. But look at what it says here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. No man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I saw that I was erring in my mind. We were all erring. Saying, God, why? When we know that God does not tempt any man with evil. God is light, period. There are some scriptures that we have to accept as a fact, pillars of our Christianity, no shaking, landmarks that cannot go out or come in. It's just steady, permanent. God is light. In him there is no variableness, neither any shadow of turning. God does not do evil. Then how come an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul? He wasn't God. Saul was enticed by his own loss. And quickly look at Ecclesiastes. I saw another thing in the Ecclesiastes. I think it's Ecclesiastes 5:2 that says, do not say it's an error. 5:3, Ecclesiastes 5:3. Please give me that scriptures. No. Be not rash, it's true. Be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For it is heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Move on. I think I'm trying to see. Verse 6. Jump to 6. Suffer not thy mouth. That is, allow not your mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. See that enticing again. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thine hands? Now just look at that scripture again. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Now you see how it ties with that James I just read for you. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? What happened to Saul? How did a man anointed by God? It was not an ordinary prophet too. It was a prophet whose word never fell to the ground unfulfilled. Speaking about Samuel, the Bible said his word did not fall to the ground. Samuel had a position with God. He was known of God. Not an ordinary prophet that anointed. My brethren, you know, let all eyes and ears be opened. That anointed Saul. That anointed Saul. That anointed Saul. Saul did not look for the anointing. In fact, he hid. He hid himself. He did not look for the anointing. He hid himself. He was Samuel that anointed him. So he had the pure anointing of God to be the king of Israel. How come the anointing of God disappeared and lifted away from him? And an evil spirit from the Lord took its place. Big question. Big question. How come? You know why? When he was little in his own eyes. He hid. How do you know he was little in his own eyes? He hid. He did not think that the kingship was his right. Do you know that this is what happens to all of us? Was what happened to Lucifer. Lucifer did not start the way he started. He was the anointed cherubim that covered. He was a messenger. In his pure form, when he was Lucifer. Perfect in all his ways. Summed all wisdom. Purity was what? Because he was from God. How come? He's now the father of all evil. That same word, pride. When he was little in his eyes, he was summed up with wisdom and purity and power and glory. When Saul was little in his eyes, he was made the king of all, not parts, all Israel. Until his heart became lifted. Until Lucifer's heart also became lifted. And so God said to me, that's a message for another day. I just dropped it, but I'm going somewhere. God said to me, the reason why this Bible says that it was an evil spirit from the Lord was because everything was created by God. Everything was created by God. There was nothing made that was made. If it was created, it was created by Him. But see, The originator of evil, Satan, was created in purity, but he was created by God. The king of Israel, when he was small in his own eyes, was made the king, but he became a person troubled by the evil spirit from the Lord. Koloshan. Hanunikonio. Mercy. We have seen it in this church. Also, and maybe you've seen it in your life, when you first came to know the Lord, if anybody told you anything, you will receive it. When you feel you know much, or you are put in a position of authority, then when they tell you something, you begin to, no, those are for some other younger Christians. We know. Mercy, Lord. He created the waster to destroy. The Lord said, that's why. That's why. But remember that I said, I am the one that created the waste and the destroyer. That is why, my people, you should be happy. If he created the waste to destroy, he has the ability to disallow, and he has the ability to allow. Hallelujah! Eh? I was lying, mokon jump, lori bed. You know, I was musing on God on my bed, and I began to say, makrobo so teke. Hey! Then my husband came to join me. I said, honey, mo sheshe gbarev kon. It's blowing my heart. To baje baba lo create waster to destroy. I don't know who that waster is. He also has the power and the authority to say disallowed. And that is why he said, no weapon formed of fashion. He formed of whatever way it was formed or fashioned or created or assembled. Because I have the power to allow or disallow, that is formed against you shall prosper. If you enter the court of our Milord, everybody must be silent. Milord Agbola Adeni, you must be silent. Eh? To ba silent, contempt lo fi sere. Wa mo boya won lagbara bi won lagbara. To ba ni belief, contempt. Wa fi mu gbe dorin dowo na. You cannot say because he's my spiritual son. When he says something, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pastor Erora Dio, Oga Erora Dio, George Inio, you are going around, behave yourself. Inside the court. This is God's court. He's the judge of the whole earth. And he always do right. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? He doeth right. That is why no waster, no destroyer, what form the fashion against you, against your household, against your business, against our nation, Nigeria will prosper. No Ebola. Hey, macro seke bobo. But as long as this condition, I want to look at the things that he first disallowed. Before I want to look at what he allows, what we should allow him to allow. Let me put it that way. Because he's always wanting to allow. But we must allow him to allow. Let me first look at the good news first of what God disallows. Sister Gloria. The first one is, God will not allow you to be hurt. God will not allow you to be hurt. Look at Exodus 12:23. I need a pair of glasses. That's why I'm calling for glory. I forgot mine. Have you seen the scriptures? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. No, let me start with Genesis 3:7. I says, God does not allow you people, allow his people to be hurt. God does not allow us to be hurt. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Bear with me. I was writing this thing as led by the Holy Spirit. So I was scribbling it. And the eyes. Genesis 31, 7. Genesis 31, 7. Ah, see it. And your father had deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Hey, Shandra Vaskondelebo Santa. No matter what, relax. You think it's that boss? Forget it. No boss can hinder your blessing. No human being on, forget, don't forget that he created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed of, if they constitute themselves as a weapon, it will not prosper. You know who this person is that did this? Who did he do it to? He thought he was smart. And your father had deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt. Everybody say, God suffered him not to hurt me. God suffered him not to hurt me. That's why you cannot hurt a Jew. Because how can you hurt a man that God has blessed? And we are spiritual Jews. You cannot curse. Seed of Abraham, you cannot curse a man that God has blessed. Laban learned a hard way. He tried, but he could not. God! Everybody say God. In this year 2016, God will not allow Satan and all his cohorts and all weapons formed or fashioned against me to hurt me and my entire household and all those under my covering and all those under my charge in Jesus' name. Makrabo sontelebo kashik. Now let's look at the second. I'm just going to rush quickly. Exodus 12:23. Hey, God will not allow the destroyer into your house. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. Amen. Amen. Marabasonte. We're preaching about God's ability to disallow or to allow. One, God will not allow you to be hurt. He will disallow hurt. He will disallow destroyer to enter and smite you in your house or your household. This body is a house. The temple of the living God. He that destroys this house, him shall God destroy. It's in scripture now. Pastor, sir, am I correct? Physical, body, and spiritual, and your mind. If it is your house, it is your house. Begin to say, Satan, God passes over my door. So the destroyer cannot come into my house is not allowed. I disallow the judge of the whole earth. Disallows. I'm sure this message, brother me, Lord, will understand it better than his wife, magistrate, more than any of us. Because it's a legal term. I disallow. Disallow. Only was silk cake, his silk cake, could get $10,000. Nico said, talk on judge. Judge, let your cotton lower. Disallow is disallow. Courts of the whole earth, the judge of the whole earth, disallows. He disallows the Wester to hurt you. He disallows the Wester to smite your body. Macrosokote Boshanta. I don't know. You can imagine how I was jumping on my bed. Now, look at Psalm 55:22. We are looking at the things that God, the judge of the whole earth, is disallowing. Psalm 89:22. Psalm 89:22. Ha ha. The Lord disallows the enemy to exact upon you. Nor the son of wickedness to afflict you. Nor allow his faith. Move to that scripture. God would not allow his faithfulness to fail. Down. Find for me that faithfulness. Just popped into my heart now. God will not allow his faithfulness to fail. Psalm 89. Nevertheless, everybody say it. My loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God will not allow his faithfulness concerning our lives to fail. So it surely exact. Satan cannot exact upon us. The son of wickedness cannot afflict us. And God's faithfulness cannot fail. Because God disallows his faithfulness to fail in our lives. Glory be to God. Quickly look at Proverbs 1:21:3. Proverbs 1:21:3. We're always saying this now. Psalm, sir. Psalm. Yes. God will not suffer our foot to be moved. God will not allow us to sleep. He will not allow us to falter. He will not allow us to shubu. He will not allow us to falter. He will not allow us to fall. He will not allow our foot to be moved. He will fix us back on the solid rock of faithfulness. Hallelujah. Then Proverbs 10:3. God will not allow us to famish. To be famished. Kunija ke big power. Kunija kung beg by where? Dollar or bad, the 330. Pound or bad, the 1 naira to 400,000. 400 naira. It's not our business. We have a God that disallows us to be famished. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. But he casted away the substance of the wicked. Are you wicked? But you must not be wicked, though. You must not be wicked, though. You must not be wicked, though. Me, I stop in famish because I know you will not be wicked. He will not allow us to be famished. Look, it's none of your business, so don't join them. Don't join them to complain about Nigeria. Nigeria is at money, eh? Oh, hard, sha. Emi omo. Nigeria le o le sha. Emi omo koti de do mi o. Ko danye do do mi. You know why? But bad thing pe nkan mo re lo nwoli e ko pe mo ra mi ni o. Because I operate the economy that is unlimited. I have not heard where favor is limited. If it's divine favor, it's unlimited. And favor is better than riches. If they don't see it, they will create it. That's why we Christians must learn to know what to say and what not to say. When they are saying it, if you know it's where you cannot say something, carry your bag and move away from them. And as you are moving, you say, Lord, I reject that. Lord, I reject that. Reject that. I reject that. I will tell you, God taught me this thing years ago. And it works. The first time, let me give you a testimony before I move on. Because I know testimony, you also will inspire faith. Long time ago, about almost, can I say, the children were very, very young. I don't think we went to England with them. About 15 years. Fenty's going to be 49. Remember, we went to Fenty's house. We were staying in Fenty's place in London. And then a friend of hers came and just had a baby. And you know, in our typical Nigerian way, when a person comes to visit you that has just had a child, now, you have to enter the house and look for something good to bless the child. So I just went in and, you know, we didn't have much. But money, she have offered only 10 pounds. She have offered 15. Could judge you. I went to take like 100 pounds. He said, but you don't have to have book before God can have mercy. Because I want to tell you something. That thing opened the gates of heaven for me and gave me a thing that I could stand upon. So I just gave the lady 100 pounds. Then after she had gone, my sister now asked me, sister, how much did you get? Honey? Ni London. Won fun yon ni ruwo ben yon 10 pounds. No fun yon, my sister. Ni. Ah. Money 10 pounds. Ah. Sister, me, ah, there, but this so fun me. Ah, sister, me, get to share. But you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Sarah, you are not operating England's economy. You are operating divine economy. And it's unlimited. And cannot be stopped. Cannot be hindered. And it's not limited. So whatever you need to declare it and begin to do it. Like you live in heavenly divine economy. Don't limit yourself by man's standards. And if you notice, that is why they're so frugal in that place. They're so. Wherever you go, if you run the heavenly divine kingdom, you will, and it has come to pass to the glory of God. So every time I say, I don't run anywhere I am in the world, I step there, I say, yes, the daughter of the king has come. Whatever the economy is, I don't know about it. I will run the divine economy. Amen. You know how hard it is in Nigeria. But to the glory of God, life what is running a divine economy. Because it does not adopt. It does not make sense. What God has done does not make sense. Look at this church. How many months did it take us to build this church? You want to tell me this is an earthly kingdom, earthly economy? It is not, brethren. How many are we? Brethren, begin to break asunder the limitations devil and his kingdom and the hordes of hell and human beings have put upon us. And begin to enter. Begin to disallow. Famish. I'm talking about being famished. Begin to disallow it. God taught me how to disallow being famished. Because in divine economy, there is always food. There is no hunger. There is no thirst. There is always supply. Hallelujah. I'm rounding up. Oh, glory to God. Hey! Brethren, now we want to look at what we should allow. First and foremost, baseline. Is meekness. You know what made Saul fail? You know what made Satan fail? Lack of meekness. Pride. Absence of meekness is pride. Opposite, you know. You cannot be meek and proud at the same time. It's not possible. When Saul was meek, when he was small in his own, was meek. God made him king. When Lucifer was small in his own eyes, until he said, I will. He wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of the Most High. You are still a created being. I am the one that created the waste to destroy. No weapon. No weapon that is summed or fashioned against you. What he created. Meekness, and that was why Jesus, knowing the answer to it, he didn't say, learn of me knowledge. He didn't say, learn of me understanding. He didn't say, learn of me power or wisdom. Even though the Bible says, wisdom is the principal. I said, God, put a sokwe, kolen, be with the principal thing is wisdom. How come you did not, Jesus did not say, learn of me wisdom? How come Jesus did not say, learn of me wisdom? How come Jesus did, why was it, Lord? The only thing that was recorded as him saying is, learn of me. Take my yoke upon yourself. Yoke alone was learning to be meek. Learn of me. Because I had to strip my meek. See why? God has never been this way. Jesus has never been man before. So he had to strip himself of all glory and take the form of a servant. He had to learn of it. He had to put the yoke of servanthood upon himself. So he had to learn meekness. Absolutely. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Solid one, meekness. Then, if you want to say, scripture is not broken, no. You can use scripture to interpret scripture. Amen. Let me tell you something. Meekness is power. You can ask my people. One of my greatest strengths is when I enter a place, I don't let you know who I am. I don't even let you know what I know. I'll just be sitting down. You may be telling me what I have preached before. You may even tell me what my people know I know. Makomani, yes. You know what I'm doing. I'm getting more from you and adding it to mine. Of what reason should I be arguing with you? I leave you going thinking, what the hell will bring you? Thank you so much for the wisdom you have given me. The Lord bless you and anoint you. The Lord will anoint you more and more. Ah, God will bless you beyond your dreams. They know I always do it. Then when the person has gone, I tell you, I will show daddy. It's me, it's me, it's me, to add. Add it to my own. Pass. And the person, and sometimes that meekness is actually strength. In fact, always is strength. Because before baby, they don't want to listen to you. You know, we have a lot of them. They don't want to, because you've been listening to them. You've been saying, yes, well done. God's war is all down. This woman that we thought coming to a place like this should be like this. Today in Kiwabai, today indeed, today I approve of everything that we are saying. See that she's not even trying to prove something. When I now say something, once, they too will now be listening. Huh? Ah, Madam, it's true. Okay, yes, you're right, madam. And then they always say, mommy, how do you do it? People who have said no. How do you do it that they have said no, never, over a dead body? When they finish talking to you, they'll be eating from your hand and say yes, yes. I say, you have to learn the trick. Meekness, no nyebe. When people expect you to be proud and they don't see it, it disarms them. It disarms them. And then they begin to listen to you. You become a witness to them. And because of that, I've been able to minister to a lot of people just by those words and help them to choose God's plan and will for their lives and the lives of their children.
Absolutely, yes. Amen.
One came to me and said, Mrs. Johnson, I can't believe it. From the Mrs. Johnson we heard and see outside, Shegimo Rokbe, you are so unapproachable. I can't even believe it. Glory be to God. We've talked about meekness. The Bible says with the lowly is wisdom. So you can see that the Bible is not contradicting itself. Truly, wisdom is the principal thing. But lowliness and meekness is the way to get it. Hallelujah. Two more things. Grace. In fact, three more things. Grace, undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. If you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. Why do we act like we own it? If you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. Why do we act like we own it? Favor is favor. Undeserved mercy and favor. God just decided to just, who can decide me? Sovereign me. So, why then are we going around like this? Because you are born into which family? Did you choose the family you were born into? Did you choose the daddy or the mommy that you came through? So, why are you doing your hands like this? Like, because Syria and your beat me. Even many of us that were classmates, you know how it is. You will see some of your classmates, and some of them may have been more intelligent than us. I wasn't so brilliant. Tori science class ni mo wa. Mi o den se science, won sha ti mi mo. My papa ni dodo, you have to read medicine, sha by first by to last. I was in a class when the art teacher, you know, I used to act in school. Okay, Hirusha, and she by Kilongwani science class. Oh no, Shasha, no, Musha, I'm grade 225. Can you pay motivation, cut him money? Do you understand? But there were some, they were just top of the class. But today, Anu Nimoriba. That is it, oh. That is it, oh. Do I deserve it? No. Do I qualify for it? No. Undeserved favor. Grace. The next time, when you see other people, you quickly have mercy upon them. When you want to be proud, you quickly have. When you even have something to be proud about, you quickly bend down. If not for the Lord, I would not have been here. You know, that was what Samuel said to Saul. Why? Why did you do this? When you were small in your own eye, did not the Lord make you king over Israel? Now, I jump scriptures. Now, your kingdom should have been established, but it is taken away from you. Pride takes away from us. There are two scriptures. He resists the proud. The second one, he sends them empty away. Am I not you? He resists the proud and he sends them empty away. Remember, look, Pastor said we should look at it. Luke chapter 2. I don't remember the scripture that he says, but the Bible says he resists and sends them empty away. Can you find it? He had filled the hungry with good things. And the rich, he had sent empty away. No, he can't be rich. It can't be that God does not want somebody to be rich. It's the proud. He resists the proud and sends them empty away. Check the scriptures. Let me continue if you find it. Because I know those two scriptures are always ringing in my heart. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then he sends the proud empty away. Then finally, I want to look at two more. Mercy. Have you found it? Mercy. Mercy. Concentrate on what I'm saying. Don't worry, just believe me. If God was to send the rich away, then that means he wouldn't want anybody to be rich. That's not true. Believe me, you can find it later. It's there. It's pride. He sent the proud empty away. Then look at the scripture, mercy. Mercy, it says, is by mercy we're not consumed. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is God that showeth mercy. Brethren, we must allow mercy. Mercy from God and mercy to others. Amen. Because if you are not merciful, God cannot be merciful to you. So you must be merciful and then God will also be merciful to you. And finally, is what we're going to do today. Inside the body, there is a system that God has designed for the body to heal itself. There's immunity in the body. If there was no immunity, nobody would have been able to survive. When you have a virus or a disease that attacks the immunity of a person, the immune system of a person, the person cannot live for very long. Because then any small disease that the person can overtake begins to fall upon the person, and the person, ordinary cold can kill the person. Because then the lungs, pneumonia, and all sorts of things. God has also designed an immune system in the church for the church to heal itself. You know what it is? Communion. Take me back to that. Discern the body. Take this body and the blood. Often, it says, by this many are sick. By this many are weak. By this many die. Which means that if you remember the body and you take the body worthily, you enhance your immune system. So you are not sick, you are not weak, and you do not die. That is why he says, remember as often as you do this. Remember. As often as you do this. Put the body together back. Judge yourself. Close all breaches. So that there will be a flow of life. Causing us to be strong. Causing us to not, yes, to be healed and to have abundance of life and never die. Never die prematurely and see the glory of God. This is it. This strength, health, and life. Preservation from death. mercy becomes a preservation and an unto God for us. This is what I have come to share with us today. I believe that the way it blessed me, I'm sure it must have blessed you. Don't run away with the scripture that alone was a quick proud away, empty away. Ah, real, oh, one be. Oh, one be. Look for it. I think it might be another translation. But look for it, brethren. These things that disallow. Let's just look at the disallow and allow. So I want you to reiterate these things before I go. What are the things that we must, that God disallows in our lives? One is hurt. What's the second one? Destroyer. What's the third one? God will not allow foot to be moved. He will not exact. He won't allow the enemy to exact upon us. He will not allow us to falter. He will not, yes. He will not his faithfulness to fail, and we will not be famished. Now, what are the four things that we must allow God to allow? Meekness, five things. Meekness, grace. You haven't said the most important one now. Lowliness. Meekness and lowliness. Yes. Wisdom. Grace. Mercy. And communion. God bless you. Have a nice day.